In all you're getting, get wisdom.
Wisdom is the principal thing.
Through wisdom is a house built.
And by understanding, it is established.
Join Apostle Joshua Selman of Eternity Network International as he takes you on a journey into the wisdom of God's Word. Its intimacy, its partnership, its fellowship. This is Koinonia.
Bless you. Good evening, everybody. Please sit down. God bless you. It's my pleasure to be here. I count it a great privilege. I'd like us to honor the men of God in the name of Jesus Christ. Let's celebrate our pastors. Hallelujah. I would like us to take a few minutes and seriously pray before I'll start teaching. Is that all right? Let's just spend some time. It's a prayer retreat. And I know that we're going to hear the word, but the Lord has been building, I believe. And I want us to spend some time just opening up our spirits and praying. Hallelujah. The Bible says he spake this parable to the end that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Prayer is powerful. I believe that God brought us to bless us. This is a great church, and I know that God, by His Spirit, is going to be doing great and mighty things in the name of Jesus. Before we arise to pray, I just want to do this. I know that I do it all the time, but I really do not want it to look like just a tradition. I do it from the depth of my heart. I honestly want to appreciate Pastor Abubakar, the chairman of the Governing Council, CGC, for the love, the sacrifice, the commitment, allowing us the use of the venue and for the things that we're doing. I also want to honor the man of God, Pastor Tula. Please, I'd like us to honor them. Let's celebrate them. Hallelujah. I remain amazed at the level of humility that I see in this church. I don't think I have traveled to many places, many congregations, and I say this without missing words, I have never met people who are very successful and yet humble to a young man. It's okay to be humble to their contemporaries. I think it's worth honoring them and celebrating them. Thank you so much, sir. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I will never take it for granted, and our ministry will never take for granted the kindness of this church. I always say this, we can change the future, but you can never change history. A child can pretend the mother did not give birth to him, but I mean, you may not have a future certificate, but you have a birth certificate. That shows that that child was once a baby in the hands of the mother. So no matter how far we get, one thing is for sure, that this church, we will never be able to write the story of the souls, the lives, the destinies that have been changed without mentioning CGC. You have gone in the hands or in the sands of time, never to be erased in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you very much. It's my honor. And I honor every man of God, but please let me honor, I call him my daddy. Please permit me to honor Prof. God bless you, sir. God bless you, sir. Hallelujah. I always tell him, when I grow up, I really want to be like him. I mean it seriously. I want to be like him. I think if I become like him, I will be a good father, husband, and a minister. Hallelujah. Let's honor our daddy. Thank you so much, sir. Hallelujah.
Kau nang Allah, Shine Abani Sabon Rai,
Shine ya wanki zuchata. Shine ya wanki zuchata. Kauna, kauna ala. Shine ya bani sabon rai. Shine ya bani salama. Just reflect on the love of Jesus as we sing this song. Kaunang Allah, shine ya bani sabonrai, shine ya bani salama, shine ya wanke zuchata. Let's sing it one more time to him. Kaunang Allah. Shine ya bani sabonrai, shine ya bani salama. I'd like us to lift up our voice and thank Jesus for the blood, the sacrifice of his son. Please go ahead, lift your voice and let's pray. We're going to hear the word, but I just want us to pray. Say, Lord Jesus, thank you for your sacrifice upon the cross. Thank you for the blood of your Son, dear Father. That blood that atones for our sin. That blood that has made us blameless before the King. We stand justified today because of the death and the substitutionary sacrifice of Jesus. Lift your voice and thank him. We are redeemed today, children of the Most High. We stand to worship a God that is alive because of the sacrifice of Jesus. Lord, we give you all the praise. We can come boldly before your throne of grace because of that which Jesus has done on the cross. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'd like us to pray. Just take a few minutes and pray. The first prayer point is, you see, the Bible says, the sower, Jesus is speaking a parable. And he said, the seed is the word of God. He said, the soil is the heart of man. Right? He says that when it is sown, immediately the enemy will come and take it away. And that word will not be of profit. I'd like us to pray and challenge every force of darkness, every controlling power that is on a mission to steal the efficacy of the word of God in our lives. Please lift up your voice and pray. Pray and prophesy over your atmosphere. Manta pros kata praskete gelebele debo koshoto protokoso debe gelebele debo. Lift up your voice and prophesy. Take charge over the atmosphere. Mante kapara dosko prata barada debo shike debo. This is a prayer retreat. In the name of Jesus, we subdue thrones and every power that can challenge the efficacy of the word of God. Meka prata baskara dosko prata gelebele debo. Hallelujah. 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 The Bible says, when Jesus resurrected, he said two men were walking by Emmaus. Are we together now? Jesus, the word, was in their midst, but they did not know. You can be so close to the word and a revelation that can change you, but you may not be aware. And the Bible says Jesus went on. They were discussing his resurrection and he was there. The very word, but they could not recognize. The Bible says, but when he broke the bread, their eyes were open. I'd like us to pray and say, Father, my eyes must be open to the revelation that will take me to another dimension. In the name of Jesus, please lift your voice and pray.
Father, I insist in the name of Jesus that tonight I will not just hear, I will receive. My eyes are open. My eyes are open. My eyes are open. Please, I'd like us to pray. My eyes are open. My eyes are open. My eyes are open. In the name of Jesus Christ, as your word comes, my eyes are open. I will not just be aware. The word of God will prevail upon me and it will change my life. It will change my life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Bible says, in all your getting, get understanding. Wisdom tells you what to do, but understanding tells you how to do it. The truth about it is that many people are not ignorant. We do not just understand how to apply the keys of the kingdom to get the results we desire. The word of God is going to be coming. Most of what we'll be hearing may not be new, but we need understanding. Understanding. Wisdom can give you a cloth. Understanding tells you how to wear it. That you have a cloth does not mean you can wear it. That you have a key does not mean you know how to open it. There are times where somebody can hold a key and be struggling over a door, but somebody else will come and push the door a little and the key will turn. That you have a key does not guarantee the door will open. Please, I want us to pray as if you are tired of your current level and say, Lord, give me understanding. Give me understanding. Please lift your voice and pray. Lord, give me understanding. In this prayer retreat, as I travel in your presence, give me
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I still want us to pray. Let me tell you the truth. I have discovered that...
Thank you. Thank you very much.
If things are not working in your life, it's not because God does not want it so. The Bible says, if ye being evil, know how to give good gifts. I was saying it yesterday in our meeting. Even an armed robber has children. And he can even think, although he's a thief, he can think that he's supposed to pay the school fees of his children. As wicked as he is, he has compassion enough to invest in a destiny. And the Bible says, if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts. I like us to pray. You're going to say, Lord, there are things that should have entered my life by now. And it has not entered. In this prayer retreat, I place a demand on heaven. Please go ahead and pray. Everything that belongs to me, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, every breakthrough, every healing, everything that has mocked you in my life must live in this retreat. Hallelujah. 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 The Bible says the spirit is willing. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. The spirit is willing to walk in holiness, but the flesh is weak. The spirit is willing to be a giver, but the flesh is weak. The spirit is willing to be serious with God, but the flesh is weak. The spirit is willing to pray. One of the benefits of prayer is that it's able to enforce the influence of the Holy Spirit over your flesh. This body is stubborn. It takes the spirit of prayer to bring it into obedience. Hallelujah. When you engage yourself to pray seriously, you gain mastery over the appetites of the flesh. That's why people can fall to anything, because they are moving at the impulses of the flesh. I'd like you to pray and say, in the name of Jesus, I take authority over every negative influence of my flesh that is destroying my life. In this prayer retreat, please lift your voice and pray. Shekeparataka. The spirit is willing. I compel the flesh to be willing. The spirit is willing. I compel the flesh to be willing. The spirit is willing. I compel the flesh to be willing. Hallelujah. Two more prayer points and then we'll be seated. I'd like us to pray. People of God, I don't know about you, but I do not want to find myself engaging something that is not producing result in my life. You see, the reason why we seek God and why we serve God is not because of results. However, there must be a time in your life where there must be a testimony. Is that true?
Thank you. Thank you very much.
A woman, a wife and her husband, they don't get married just for children. Is that not true? They get married for love. But eventually, when children are not coming, it becomes an added concern. Although that was not the major reason for the marriage. But the absence of children will necessitate worry. Can I still work on this? Please. So that we're praying, so that I don't distract you. Hallelujah. Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much. I don't seek God because of money. I don't seek God because of title. I don't seek God because of anointing. I don't seek God because of influence. I don't seek God because of breakthrough. But people of God, I have found out when God gives you a breakthrough, sincerely, you will serve Him well. Are we together? When you are able to get out as a tenant and have a house where you can shout and pray from morning till night, you will serve God well. Those who say you will serve God are not telling the truth. Hallelujah. It's a terrible thing. Please help me with this. Hallelujah. Please, if this is making noise, I can walk with the wired mic so that we don't... Please. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's okay, sir. Don't worry, sir. Thank you. Hallelujah. A man cannot go and pray for 3 hours when he knows that he has the school fees of his child to pray tomorrow, and tomorrow is the deadline. No matter how you love God, at worst you will only cry in His presence, but there's not going to be any quality prayer there. Are we together now? It's very important. One of the things that I made up my mind to do is not to lie to myself. My greatest fear in life is that I would not believe something that after many years I will find out that is a lie. I fear believing a lie. The Bible said, be careful lest your light, what you have lived all your life calling light, you end up finding is darkness. Hallelujah. In this prayer retreat, you know why prayer meetings are not effective in churches? We don't believe prayer works. Very simple. Very simple. If the government suddenly say, everybody who lives in Samaru, you are going to collect 5,000 tomorrow. All you need to do is just queue around filling Seidu. I promise you, from 3 o'clock, people will stand in the queue. It doesn't matter whether rain is falling or not. The revelation of the fact that 5,000 is coming into their pocket for sure will sponsor every tiredness, every fatigue, every quarrel. They will overlook everything. The reason why people are drowsy around prayer is because probably after a long time of engaging in it, they have not seen results. Please, I want us to pray. I'd like you to cry before the God of heaven and say, Lord, visit me. I'll be grateful if you visit my neighbor, but I want a story for myself. Lift your voice and please pray. Lord, give us testimonies. Tangible testimonies. Tangible testimonies, oh God. Tangible testimonies. Shekete raka paruko sopre diga de baradaba. Sheke parada pariada baladaba. Give us testimonies, oh God. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. It doesn't take time for a man's life to change. It only takes a true encounter. One encounter changed the name of Jacob from Jacob to Israel. One encounter turned a man called Saul of Tarsus to become one of the greatest apostles who ever lived. The last prayer point. Jesus, I need an encounter. Let it not look like I came and wasted my time here just to honor a church program. Give me a real encounter. Go ahead and lift your voice and pray. Jesus, I cry for an encounter. I cry for an encounter.
Hallelujah. God bless you. Please be seated in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. There are two things that the Holy Spirit put in my heart to share with the people of God even in this season. I'll be sharing the first part this night and then we'll pray. I'll be as brief as possible. And the second part, by the grace of God, we're going to consider it tomorrow. I take out time to prepare for every meeting because I fear God. And I do not want a situation where I just guess. You see, as a preacher, because you are always in constant touch with the Word, it's possible that you can just cook up anything and tell people God has said. It will still sound nice. But it's left for you and God. It's left for God to judge you whether that is the current speaking of the Spirit to you for His people. Any man of God can come up with any part of the Scripture. You will always find something. And the fact that the people are blessed does not mean that's what God wanted them to hear. That's why we pray that only the counsel of the Spirit for His people will be able to prevail. And I trust that God will challenge us in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. One of the most touching things about believers, especially believers today in the church, is that we are willing to pay any price to get the glory of God. And that is a very, very good thing for us to come to a point where we can pay any price. There is no other time, especially in recent years, when believers are willing to fast and pray. There are churches that can run vigils 30 days non-stop every night because they are praying for the power of God. We have learned so many laws, so many principles. I am absolutely convinced that the church is not ignorant. Whether on TV, whether through books, whether through conferences, there are all kinds of revelations in the body of Christ. People have been able to press into God enough to come up with something tangible. There are few men of God, to be sincere with you, who truly love God, that will stand and preach to their congregations and you say what they are saying is nonsense. If we are to be fair, we will know that God has really tried for the church. Is that true? Even denominations that did not used to align to the truth of God's word are gradually even squaring up and speaking things that at least people can receive and take back home. But the challenge is this. Why is it that in the midst of so many activities, so many conventions, conferences, so many prayer meetings such as this, so many fasting sessions. January in Nigeria is a time when the devil is in trouble. From January 1st till 31st, there's no rest. Somebody is shouting at the realm of the spirit somewhere. Pray, dry fast, all kinds of skills of fasting. Praying, night vigils. But when you compare the results we are getting, please, I want you to pay attention. What I'm sharing will bless you. When you compare the results we are getting versus the spiritual labor, if we are to be sincere with ourselves, it only creates a source of concern and frustration. It's a different thing if you are not serious with God. So you know that you don't even expect anything. But why would I fast so much? I'm abstaining from every appearance of evil. Fasting. Praying. Knocking on the gates of heaven. I'm always catching revelations and praying them into my life. But when you compare the results to the sacrifice,
is not commensurate. And yet every time we sing songs that God is a good God, the time has come for us to really ask ourselves some question in church, whether these songs, we really understand them, or we're just singing it so that we'll not be called demons in church. That's why many people are angry, pastor, in churches. It's just that the members cannot beat us, but the truth is they are angry. And I foresee that if we don't contend for life, a day will come when one bold member will stand up and say, pastor, if this word does not work in my life, don't stop me from going to a shrine. I've said it again and again. We have no right to stop people from going to herbalists if we cannot bring tangible results. If I were not born again, I will do anything for the solution I'm looking for. I won't do it in secret. I will do it openly. Me, Joshua Selman, I won't do it in secret. Honestly speaking, it's painful when somebody knows he can go to a herbalist and come back with results. He will go to hell, but at least let him live in heaven on earth. Are we together? And then pastors make bold statements we don't have the grace to defend. So the challenge with the body of Christ is we are holding on to so many revelations. We have not contended for the level of grace, the grace dimension of those revelations, to be able to prove that they are right. Are we together now? When a student is about graduating, there is something called defense. Is that true? Defense is a platform that is created by the intellectuals to create a scenario where the student can defend what he claims to have known, that validates him having that whatever certificate. And so he's put before a panel, and they begin to ask him questions in line with what he claims to have learned. And when they certify that he has communicated enough, they authorize him. Life will always give you a defense. And at that time, English is not going to be the issue. When Moses went before Pharaoh, it was not the issue of grammar. He went before Pharaoh and said, let my people go. And Pharaoh laughed. He said, me? Do you not know that this is the center of wizardry and witchcraft? And Moses threw his rod. It was a language of mantles, not just English. I have prayed for people who were not healed. I have laid hands on barren people who did not have children after a while. I have ministered to sick people who eventually died. I am not one of those preachers that lie to people that it's your faith that didn't work. I take responsibility and I say there is a dimension in God that I have not pressed into. And that means that the moment I refuse to press into it, I will keep making other people become a victim of my unyieldedness. Is God speaking to us? One of the things that can make a man powerful in the spirit is truth. The ability to stand before God and take responsibility. I have been faced with challenges in people's lives where I have prayed and I've done all I know to do. And I've seen that these things have not quite, it's not been that way. And it is a challenge for us to press deeper. Because I know what would have happened if Jesus were on that scene. Yet we claim we have his life. Yet we claim his life. We know the Greek word for life. We know the Hebrew word for life. But we don't know the result it produces. Hallelujah. So I've been concerned. I think a lot about the body of Christ. And my concern is that we lack the experience of the truth we know. Life does not respond to intentions. It responds to convictions. You intend for somebody to be healed, but do you have the conviction and the grace to make that happen? Hallelujah. And this is why God creates platforms like this. For us to iron out ourselves and to press into the Word of God. I talk to the Lord a lot. And when I was praying, I said, Lord, you have to give me an answer to this thing. Why is it that the church, we have so many activities? To an extent that when a man of God says, all of you lift your hands, let me prophesy to you. The truth is, the members themselves, they know nothing is going to happen from that prophecy. It's just that we members, especially the African church, we have a lot of honor and respect for men of God. So nobody can say, stop wasting our time. But the truth is, you share it when they get results. They come and say, let me confess, that day, as the man of God was praying, I didn't expect anything. So while we're there shouting and sweating on stage, the truth is the members are saying, is it not like before? But can we contend to a dimension where our words become like the word of God? That a man will pay any price to hear you speak because he knows that your utterance is equivalent to his transformation. That if he can lead your mouth to his life, something must happen. Hallelujah. So there are many activities. So many activities. So many activities. As at last year, there were people booking, you know, trying to see how they can bring me for ministration down to July this year, as at last year. And you would think it's something that will excite me and make it look like ministry is advancing. I kept asking myself a question. I said, these people who are inviting me, what do they expect? Question two, am I able to deliver? Or am I just wasting their time? You see, we have to fear God enough to tell ourselves the truth. This is the place of true spiritual power. When I go for meetings and people are clapping, you know, when I sit down and they say, now we're about to call the man of God, and some are jumping. In my mind, I'm saying, don't jump, oh. Don't jump. It's me and God that knows whether I can. You see people even crying before I come up, because in their minds, some of them have listened to our teachings and they believe that this man of God, some will even say, I told God that as I see you, my problem will end. Do you know the level in the spirit it takes for a man to just see you and know his problem ends? The widow at Nain. The Bible says they carried her only child. You see that there was a spirit at work in her life. Her husband died, her child died. The men in her life were dying. And they were about to cross the city gate. In ancient times, when you cross with a dead body outside the city gate, you don't bring it back again. And they stumbled across this stranger called Jesus. And they knew for sure. If you don't love God, what I'm saying will not interest you. If we want to remain lying to ourselves and consoling ourselves, people carry envelopes with seeds and they come and they say, man of God, I want to bless you. And I tell myself the truth. Do I really deserve to collect this? Have I really blessed them? Or is it just that I give them a feeling, you know, like this therapy, this psychological therapy, and they just felt good? Is God helping us tonight? It's a prayer retreat. It's a time of deep soul searching. I had to ask the Lord. Do you know that many of the testimonies that members testify were not, that testimony did not really come from their own church. They know where they got it from. That's the truth. It's just that sometimes we share it because if we dare tell the pastor that it's another man of God who produced the result, you say, so you are trying to say me, I'm not anointed. So they just say, Daddy prophesied, I went and came back, but between God and them, they know where the answer came. Are we together now? Why is this so, people of the living God? Why is this so? Is it that God just wants to frustrate us and make us look like helpless people while he sits on the throne and asks us to worship him and threatens us with hell if we don't? Doesn't that sound like Adolf Hitler to you? Does that sound like the Jesus we talk about? Something is wrong. And tonight I want to show you something shocking that God showed me. As to why people can still pray and fast. When people, especially young people of my age range, when they see me, the first question is, what was the secret of the anointing? What do you do? And I tell them, and they go and do it and don't get anything. When they don't get it, they look and say, Kai, you didn't tell the truth. There's more to it. You see why they keep suspecting people who are anointed? Because they do. If you said you pray for 2 days, they now say, oh, if Pastor Tula prayed for 2 days and carried certain things, me too, let me pray. After 2 days, if nothing comes, you say they are not telling us the truth. There is more to it.
Hallelujah. So you see people running with seeds. They see a man of God and they kneel down and say, man of God, I came to tap into your anointing. As most pastors, they know that that prayer, nothing really happened. It's just that the people won't let them rest. So they just say, oh, kneel down. Father, just let your will be done, you know. And the person gets up jacking. But every true man of God knows when something leaves him to someone else. Most of that thing we call impartation is not impartation. It never happened. So what then is the key? Is it that our prayer is not correct? Or the fasting is not correct? What exactly is the issue? The recent one is the one that, okay, God is now challenging members. Okay, be faithful in your tithing and giving. You know, so many people tithe and nothing happens. And you see newspapers carrying all kinds of stupid stories about men of God, making all kinds of noise and making it look like men of God are defrauding their members and all of that. All those kinds of rubbish. But you know why? Because many people pay their tithe as a bribe. The Bible says, honor the Lord. It didn't say frustrate yourself in the altar. A lot of people come, they carry it and say, God, talk. They use up everything. Then when they are sure their money is finishing, they sit down and say, okay, let me calculate. 5,000, 11,005, 2,100. Now I can. They count everything. They remove God's own and say, God, I take your thing and don't disturb me. And then we are shocked to find out that nothing happens. You see, God is not a magician. God is not a magician. Cain and Abel brought sacrifices. Is God speaking to us? And the Bible says both of them offered the same sacrifice. You would think they did the same thing physically speaking. If you looked at them physically speaking, you would not know any difference because they did the same thing. The Bible says the sacrifice of one went to the heavens and the sacrifice of the other was rejected. And Cain was angry. And when God came to him, he said, Cain, why are you angry? The Hebrew word there is the word translated frustrated. Because when you keep doing spiritual activities without satisfying the requirement, you will not get any result and you will be frustrated. So he said, Cain, why are you frustrated? He said, if you do the right thing, will your sacrifice not be accepted? May God show us something that will change our lives forever tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. The Lord showed me the key. Ready for it? 1 Corinthians. Believe me, this will shock you. Let hope rise. Darkness trembles in your holy light. Yeah. Let hope, let it rise. Darkness trembles in your holy light. One more time. So let hope, let it rise tonight. Darkness trembles in your holy light. The Lord began to speak to me, and he told me that there is a way spiritual things operate. For anything at all you intend to do, the first thing is that God is going to scan through you whether the love of God is the motivation, the bedrock of that spiritual activity. The first reason why we engage in spiritual activities but never make true contact with heaven is that our motive and motivations are wrong. Although our intentions are right, the process, the activity is correct. So a man goes to fast dry because he heard Pastor Abubakar ministry and he said, my goodness, this man of God, I used to know him, see the level he has entered. And out of a revenge mission and a competitive spirit, he now goes to the secret place. That experience is a waste. Because all of that was sponsored by
envy, are we together now? Although it looked like a spiritual activity, it was engineered by envy. If as a young man I'm told that when a young man is serious with God, God will anoint you and people will bless you. Are we together now? And you look at the economy and see that the economy is hard. Even when you get federal government job, they can throw you anytime. And then I now find out that ministry looks like a quick route because people will bless you for doing nothing. And then I get up and pay, even if it is to go to a seminary, it doesn't matter. Your motive was corrupted. So you endure days of fasting and prayer. You go through all the physical rudiments with a corrupt motive. You will never find God that way. Is God speaking to us now? How many things are done in the body? The process is right, but the motive is wrong. From a competitive spirit to the spirit of envy and bitterness, we think these things are little things until God opens your eyes to see how they can authorize darkness in the life of a man. It's more destructive than fornication and adultery. Believe me. If I'm a fornicator, you can know physically. But if I'm a bitter person, you cannot know. You can know that this person needs to straighten his ways with ladies, and you can even call me and say, I straighten your ways. But I can laugh with you, whereas in my heart I desire to kill you. That's called the sin of the spirit. That's a dangerous one. Because it takes discernment to detect it. Is God speaking to us now? Believe me when I tell you the reason why so many people preach messages and do the things that they do but never find God is because our motive is corrupt. Genesis chapter 11, don't turn there. The Bible talks about a man called Nimrod, the son of Cush. Theologically speaking, when you read, you know that that was the origin of witchcraft. Because Nimrod killed his father Cush and married his mother Semiramai. She became the queen of heaven. Hallelujah. And Nimrod gathered the people and said, go to. He said, come, let us build a city and a tower. Why? Motive. Let us make a name for ourselves. God is never afraid of blessing you, but he will scan the motive of your heart. Believe this, I'm telling you, and see the hand of God in your life in a fearful dimension. Years ago, the Lord told me something. He said, son, if you will let men see me, there is nothing I will not give you. I thought he was joking. But now I know God is not joking. Have you seen a man that when you scan his life, you cannot exactly tell why he's getting so much results? Because he's not dissipating so much spiritual energy as you are. In fact, frankly speaking, there are preachers that when you listen to their messages from a human point of view, you will wonder why they command certain dimensions of influence. It's more than words, it's a motive. God has found men who will die seeing him glorified. And they say, there is nothing I will not give them. When the Lord told me this, it opened my eyes. Motive. 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 In a generation where we are obsessed about honor, in a generation where we are obsessed about titles, I went to minister, I think he was in Enugu last year, and something interesting happened. Just one young man just like me, they invited him as a guest minister. I think he's a pastor's child. And so, I don't know if it was a mistake. The people too didn't organize the meeting very well. And they now said, brother something. Let's assume his name was James. They said, we now invite brother James, and they climbed. When the guy came with fierce anger, when he came, he carried the mic. He said, I am pastor, so. You don't call me brother this. And then he started the meeting. He raised one or two songs and said, I've sensed the power of God. He said, are there ushers in this place? You see, that's how you know somebody who is about to disgrace himself. Whenever you come into a place and you take God's place, just know you are on your own in that meeting. And certainly, that's what happened. So my people were with me. And I sat down there and I loved the guy, but I was pitying him because as compassionate as God is, he's also just. It will shock you when God steps back and leaves you on your own. Remember what Samson said, I will arise as before. And suddenly he found out that the Spirit of God had left him. Is God helping us tonight? And so, the gentleman began to talk. And he said, the power of God is going to move in this place. I hope there are ushers. Where are they? And he was moving around. Lift your hands. Lift your hands. How many minutes? People were tired. You know, people know how to be angry when there is. They said, look, don't waste our time. We came here. There's cold here. We have burdens. We are sick. Don't know. Look, who is this small boy? The moment the result doesn't happen, they now look at your age and say, this guy is even a small boy that is coming to disgrace us like this. Because we came to this crusade ground. I was just praying. I said, Lord, mercy, whatever it is, just show up for this boy. Let him finish and go and sit down. They had to run and come and pass a paper and told him, please, Mr. Man, round up. People have real burdens here. When I came up, it was such a dramatic meeting. At the end of the meeting, I could see the guy. I could see the brokenness. Because you see, one of the dangers of pride is it makes you think there is no one greater. It makes you a god of yourself until something brings you down in such a terrible way. When Satan wants to throw you down, he allows you to jump up. When you are up before everybody, he will bring you in such a way that will make nobody want to rise again. That's what happened. I learned a lesson in that meeting. And I said, look, the Bible says when you come into a place, it's a spiritual principle. It says sit at the back. There is a revelation to that. It doesn't just mean literally sit at the back. Another word for it is let her walk speak for her at the gates. You don't stand up moving around. That's why I tell pastors that carry cards all around and say, look, I'm anointed. I promise you, you invite me and see. If you have to announce your presence, it's a sign that you have not arrived. Because the anointing speaks. It can speak. He said, no man lights a candle except the candle is not lit and puts it under a bushel. Motif. Lord, I want prosperity. And God says, I don't have a problem with that. But let's look at the motif. Anna and Penina were the wives of a man called Elkanah. Praise the Lord. And the Bible tells us that Penina had children, but Hannah did not have any. Is that true? And the Bible says every time at Shiloh, Hannah would go and pray because Penina mocked her. She now went to God. Her motive for wanting a child was to stop the mockery of Penina. And God said, it's not enough reason for me to give you a child. If you think you come to me crying just because you want to also stand and look at your stepwife, no, it's not enough reason. Until her motif was edited to a point where she now gave up and said, Lord, let's leave the issue of quarreling and competition. You need a prophet. Can my womb produce that prophet? She prayed only once and a child came. Only once. You really believe it's so hard for God to bless you? There are people, the day 1 million enters their hand, not money to keep for somebody, 1 million. On that day, it will take a special intercession to draw you back to even see the need to pray. When you are blessed, it really can distract you sometimes. And so we keep praying, oh God, bless me. There are pastors who want crowd. But the question, God, do you love me enough and have the motive and the motivation to be able to stand in and to help these people? Motivation. In this prayer meeting tonight, the Lord is asking us to scan our heart. We have to be sincere with ourselves. There is nothing wrong if you find out that for some reason your motive is not consistent with the love of God. It's not a thing to be embarrassed about. The psalmist said it this way, search my heart, O God. He said, try my thoughts. If you find any evil way there, he said, and bring me to the way everlasting. That's why God said, this man is a man after my heart. Do you know, David was such a stubborn man. He would do a lot of bad things. He would write his problems and give the music director. He would say, sing it. That's the extent of his repentant heart. the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, there's too much hypocrisy and falsehood. We love the Lord, but the truth is we have to admit it. This is why we do not see the power of God. When I go for meetings and the power of God is moving, God is touching people, I see the way many men of God look and I can sense the admiration. Not a healthy one. I can sense a replacement admiration. Oh God, if is it possible to just kill this person and carry the anointing and bring on my head? It's a terrible thing. It's a terrible thing. Lord, I want a Jeep. God says, that's it. That's child's play. I can bring you anything. But what is your motive? He said, to be able to prove to everybody in my environment that Jesus is alive. He said, no, you don't need to prove it. I'm alive. I really am alive. Oh God, bless me and see what I'll do for you. He said, I'm already seeing your heart. I don't have to bless you to see. I've seen the way your heart will run away from me. I dread any idol taking the place of God in my life. I seek His presence for a living. I seek His presence for a living. Have you come to a point in your life where your motive is to please God in every way? Can you keep this on even when this is bad? Thank you. Please keep this on so that if it happens, we can still use this, all right? Thank you. Sorry about that. Hallelujah. The love of God is very important. If your motive is not to see His kingdom come, if your motive is not to see Christ lifted, forget about seeing the hand of God in your life. Jesus, you be lifted higher, higher, be lifted higher through our lives. Jesus, you be lifted higher, higher, be lifted higher. Let our King be lifted up. Oh, Hosanna. So Jesus, you be lifted up. Oh, this year, higher. Let's pray before we continue. I'd like you to say, Lord, I repent. Cry to God. Lord, repent. Because I can see from the light of your word that my motives are not genuine. I'm a child of God. But the truth of the matter is the things I am praying and fasting for, my motives are not genuine. From the desire to outshine others, from a desire to silence accusers, as spiritual as it is not of God. Anything short of the genuine desire to express your love for God and see His kingdom come is carnal, is sensual, is mundane and of the devil. Lift your voice and pray. Lord, I've been praying for that admission simply because I want to show my colleagues I'm not dull. It's not enough reason to see the hand of God. Lord, I want those children so that I will prove that what people are saying is wrong. It's still not enough reason. It's still not enough reason. It must be to see His kingdom come. It must be to see His glory lifted. Lord, I want to be a millionaire. I want you to trust me with the wealth of the kingdom. And God says, there's no problem. But I see that your heart, your motive is not right.
So Jesus, you be lifted higher, higher.
Motif greater than rhema, motif greater than fasting, motif greater than sacrifices and tithing and seeds, that the intent of your heart will be to see his kingdom come. Oh God, bless me because I want to see your house built. Bless me because among other things, I want a situation where people can be so blessed. Lord, give me a boss. I'm looking for an opportunity. I seek a platform where I'm able to transport people from your house to their location without making noise about it. And God said, this is what you want to do for me? He said, let me see what you are doing with the one I gave you first. He said, no, God, give me that one first. And God says, no, he who is faithful in little. He didn't say we'll be faithful. He said, he's already faithful with much. Motif. Ask the Lord. There is nothing I desire in my life. Ask him. There is nothing I desire in my life just for personal benefit and to prove that I'm fulfilled. No. Because ministry has given me an opportunity. You see, when you're a man of God, men of God should be the wisest people on earth. Unfortunately, many of us pastors, especially the younger ones, we are really very foolish. I have been to many mortuaries. I have seen dead bodies of prayer warriors. I have seen people die. And I know that this life, although I'm a young man, I'm wise enough to know life is really brief. If I die today, Zaria will just cry. 7 days is the expiry period, and everybody will move on with their lives. I found out the way to live is to let your convictions outlive you. I seek only his kingdom. I can tell you the truth to God who made me. Only about 10% of my prayer life is dedicated to praying for my personal needs. A bulk of my prayer, bless your house. Let souls be saved, oh God. Change the lives of people. When your life sincerely becomes to see his kingdom come, there is nothing God will not give you. Hallelujah. But the challenge is that when God gives us a little blessing, we forget. That's the reason why he withholds it as an act of love, not an act of hate. Because he knows that you are better off spiritually at that point. He has weighed you and seen that your best spiritual position is in the absence of those things. And so he would rather you remain like that, for your spirit to be healthy, than for him to bring every kind of thing. There are men of God. Do you know that by the time the anointing of the Spirit works upon your life, I can get up without prayer and enter a meeting and the power of God will still move. But it does not justify that I'm healthy spiritually. I already told God again and again, anything in my life that is not going to be from your glory, for your glory, don't even ask me for permission. Take it. Take it. It's a useless life to live trying to build an empire. And at the end of your life, you find out that you wasted your time. You wasted the time of others. Precious souls that would have changed. I'm challenging us, CGC, to re-examine our motive. Re-examine our motive.
I met a man who told me that he wanted to be a man of God, to start a church. And then the question I asked him, I said, why? And he looked. He said, we're tired of all this coldness around. Eh? It's as if God is not doing anything. I say, you're a liar. God is doing many things. There are serious men of God doing serious things. If you think in your area God is not doing anything and you are the only one, your motive for that ministry is already wrong. Because in your mind you believe that you will be the custodian of all that God is doing. That's already corrupt. You will train members who will fight other pastors. Or I already see from your motive that you will be a bad man of God. You may not sleep around, you may not bribe, but your motive, you are going to train members to believe that your church or your ministry is the absolute custodian of what God is doing, and that every other man of God is just wasting time. That kind of person will now go to a 7 days prayer, and after praying for 7 days, all that you will hear is go back and be effective in your church. And you say, no, this is the voice of the devil. And you'll be wondering, you say, God, boy, I can even preach more than my pastor. He said, that's exactly why I want you to sit down and learn. Thank you. I think you shouldn't worry. This, I will do with it. I'm okay. Hallelujah. Yes. Motive. Periodically, I lock up myself and check up my life again and again. I'm very sincere before God. Lord, what is my motive? I'm a young man. And as a young man, different motives, my life is still young. So different motives can slip into the passion for ministry. Right? But you have to go back and be sincere before God and say, Lord, search my heart. Have I exalted the quest for fulfillment more than the passion to see his kingdom come? And God blesses you and says, okay, change this one. Do this. Do that. And you come out renewed with another dimension of grace. This year, 2016, the secret to commanding exploits is to find time for God. Not just time to pray for your needs, time for soul searching. Let me tell you what many people do during retreats. They go back and they say, oh God, but I've been talking to you about this. That's not what you do during a retreat. A retreat is not when you go and just twist the hand of God. A retreat is when you go and lie down before God naked and unashamed and say, Lord, search my heart. And God says, okay, in the last 2 months, pride has started growing in your heart. And then you don't say, Kai, God, Abba, pride? No. You say, Lord, I have need. If God looks at me now and God says, son, you have the seed of fornication in you, I won't turn and say, oh God, me? Abba. Ask those who know me. I will run to God immediately because I know he does not lie. And I'll say, God, please work on me. Rather than arguing it until the day it now backfires. And then I'll say, it's a mistake. No. I'm not ready for all that long story. So you quietly go to God. Are you that humble for God to show you the flaws in your life and yet you are not embarrassed? Because he will not show you if you are not ready to receive. Is God talking to us? I used to know a man of God. I still know him. Great, great friend of mine. But eventually, the ministry started struggling financially. They were trusting God for certain things. And that thing led him to start doing a teaching that was not exactly consistent. And I understand. It's easy to criticize pastors. It's not his fault. Things were going wrong with his family, his personal finances and all of that. And out of sheer frustration, he started moving to the extreme. And, you know, and when that happened, I looked at him and one time I called him. I said, my brother, I love you very much with all my heart, but I think it will be good for you to look at this area, that area. And when I did that, you know, he resisted it with such, no, please leave me alone. Everybody hears God too. Don't talk to me, this and that. And I kept quiet, but I kept quiet in pain. Do you know why I kept quiet in pain? I kept quiet in pain because I knew that this guy would not go very far. It wasn't too long. Right now, Thank you so much. You see the kind of struggle. And until recently, he called me and said, man of God, truly, truly, I cannot tell you how much I've derailed from the things of God. I told him there is still room. But you see, you have to learn to go back. One of the biggest secrets of my life is the secret place.
And anybody who means business with God must love the secret place more than the public place. Anybody who loves appearing before men more than appearing before God will be in trouble. Because men love you too much, they will see you dying and still say you are going to live. They will just say it in the secret. This person is dying, but when he says you are going to live, I see you living. Well, you will die. So you need to go to the one who will be open with you and call black, black, and call white, white. And you come out there renewed. We will wait upon the Lord. For in His presence there's fullness of joy, and our strength shall be restored. As we wait upon the Lord. When we wait upon the Lord at times like this, we allow Him to scan our motives. The intention for the things that you do. The intention for your fasting. The intention for your giving. The intention for your wanting marriage. The intention for your wanting children. The intention for your wanting grandchildren. Your intention for wanting fame. He will scan it until He finds out that is to glorify Him. Hallelujah. Let me talk about another thing just very quickly. The subject of love. Closely related to what I said. I preach this, but God asked me to teach this tonight as we pray. Love. 1 Corinthians 13. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I am become a sounding bronze or a tickling cymbal. Now, it's easy for us to just read this at face value and think that, God was just an encouragement. Do you know what level in the spirit it takes to speak with tongues of men and of angels? The word tongues there is just not necessarily strange language. It's just an ancient word for language. That means I access a portal in the spirit where I can communicate with both the languages of angels and speak in the language of men. If you have that kind of gift today in the body of Christ, they will almost worship you. I don't know anybody on earth today that has even touched this dimension, where you can effortlessly access the tongues of men and of angels. The Bible says even when you get to that dimension and you have not love, in the physical they clap for you, but in the spirit you weigh small. He says you are like an empty, a clinging cymbal. Number two, it says, though I have the gift of prophecy and I understand all mysteries. I have had the privilege by God to be given revelations of certain mysteries of the kingdom. I've sat down under the ministry of great men and women. I admire and celebrate the grace of God upon their lives. All across Africa and the world, great people. And I've had them dispense the mysteries of God. But the Bible says, even though I understand all mysteries and all knowledge, you say, even though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, and I do not have love, he said, as far as God is concerned, I am nothing. If I have all faith, I will be able to build a stadium in 2 years. And God said, even while they are dedicating it and people are clapping and newspapers are carrying your name, in heaven, you weigh small. You see, there was a man in the Bible called Isaiah. Many of us know about him. Isaiah was a great prophet of God. He was not a fake man of God. And the Bible tells us that this guy began the book of Isaiah with all kinds of prophecy. Chapter 6 verse 1, the Bible says, in the year King Uzziah died, Isaiah was the one testifying. He said, I, Isaiah, saw the Lord. Right? He said he was high and lifted up. The train of his robe filled the temple. When Isaiah saw God, he said, I am undone. The word undone there means I omitted training. I did not stay till everything was complete. Undone, a man of unclean lips, and I dwell amidst the people of unclean lips. Do you know God didn't say, Kai Haba, you are too humble. That's too much humility. Why will you insult yourself like that? Because it was true. He was really undone. And the Bible says the seraph took a live coal and touched his lips. And they say, your iniquity has been taken away from you. And then there was a call, who shall we send? So a man can be building churches. A man like Joshua Selman can be doing a great meeting like Koinonia, and heaven is still saying, who shall go for us? While men are clapping and saying you are doing well, heaven is saying we are still looking for a man. Because as far as we are concerned, this thing people are doing is nonsense. Love. Greater than power. I can heal 1,000 people. But only those who were healed in love are recorded before God. Can you imagine that? He said, though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned. Do you know what it means to carry all that you have and give the poor? If you don't have much, you can easily give it. But where you have spent your life getting something substantial, it's not easy to give the poor. Ask the rich man. Jesus said, sell everything, give the money to the poor and come and follow me. The man said, I won't do that. To give the poor. He said, even if you do that, you are such an exceptional philanthropist to a point that you give yourself. Remember, scripture says, greater love has no man than this, than a man lay down his life. If, God forbid, but if somebody enters here with a gun now and wants to shoot pastor, and I go and stand and they shoot me, my poster will say, somebody who died for the gospel. All that one is stories. If I did not do it out of love, I know that physically speaking, people will look and clap for my dead body. But the truth is, that will not strike any notable chord in the spirit. Because it was not done in love. Then the Bible begins to give us the quality of love in verse 4. It says, love suffereth not. Anytime I teach on this scripture, I ask our people to put their names. Anywhere you see love, can we try it? Charity, except your name is Charity. Let's just try. 4 and 5. Anywhere you see, just whisper it. Don't shout it along because it will really sting you. Ready? Just mention your name. Joshua Selman suffered long. Is that true? And is kind. Right? Read on. You envy not. Look at this now. It vaunted not itself. It's not puffed up. Verse 5. It does not behave itself unseemingly. Seeketh not her own. Not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. How many of us can stand before the God of heaven and say that is a description of me? Anybody who stands up, I know that you are telling a lie. Hallelujah. Yeah. The Bible says they draw nigh to me with their lips, but their heart is far away, very far. Hallelujah. There are three things the Lord told me that will show whether the love of God is at work in a man's life. Let me touch it quickly and then we'll pray. Number one, the Lord told me if I want His love to really find expression in me. He said, you must learn to judge intentions above actions. For you to truly walk in the love of God, you must learn to judge intentions above actions. You have called me, and I will answer. Lead me, Lord, and I will go. Lead me, Lord, and I will follow. Lead me, Lord, I will go. For you have called me, and I will answer. Lead me, Lord, I will go. When the love of God is at work in you, you will learn to judge intentions above actions. Many Christians kill people We stab ourselves and kill ourselves because we judge people by actions, not intentions. Are we together now? Somebody passes you, and the person may be going through a level of frustration you do not know. And ordinarily, you know that person would greet you, but the person passes you without greeting. Can you judge intentions above that action? That's how to know that the love of God is at work in you. Or you just turn and you have been looking for an opportunity to latch in on something and prove the person is not well behaved. And now here has come the opportunity. Say, this small girl. Whereas you don't know that that person is going through a lot of heartbreak and the person even passed not knowing. A pastor stands to preach on stage and he's communicating passion. But in a bid to communicate the passion, he became human. And he was so hard on you and probably said things he could not have said or he would not have said. Do you have the love to judge his intention beyond his action? Are we together now? A pastor can be preaching and in a bid to try to stress a point, maybe because of communication barrier, he could take an action and give an example that may not be appropriate. Can you see the spirit of what he's trying to say? Or you just carry it and say, this man is in error and he's misleading us. I have learned to judge intentions above actions. It's a great key. If you judge people just by the actions, you will misunderstand people and you will have enemies all around your life. Because every day you will find people doing things. You can see someone frowning and he's looking at you. Believe you me, he's looking, but it's not you he's seeing. He's seeing bills to be paid. You think it's you. The person is seeing bills to be paid, he's seeing trouble. And you look and say, what sort of nonsense is this? And we just finished prayer meeting in CGC. And that will stem hatred and bitterness. You too, you will reciprocate it. And the person is wondering, what did I do wrong? Love. To judge intentions above actions. People have said a lot of things about me in time past and around, you know, once you are doing things. And there are many times I've had to, those who know me know that I have no business listening to, nobody comes to talk. I don't talk about pastors. I don't talk about men of God. You never come near me and say, this, are you seeing what a man of God is doing in one church? No, no, I will send you out. I don't have time for that. That's not the ministry God called me to. Right? And when that happens, I tell them, I said, don't blame the people who are angry. Success is not easy. When you are successful, it can be intimidating, even for the most sincere people. You see that? I remember a husband and a wife who came for counseling one time, and the man started saying the wife was being rude to him. And then it's a long story. He beat her up, long and short. So they came for counseling. And this man is supposed to be a very noble person. And after he beat up the wife, I said, Daddy, sir, what would have warranted that? He said, can you imagine? I'm a humble man, but I'm not stupid. There is an ego in every man, and when you push him to the wall, he will react, and so on and so forth. And I said, I understand. But when I probed into everything, I found out that the woman's salary became like 3 times his salary. And that's the bedrock of it. And the moment that happened, he started judging her intention. Let me tell you something. I want us to be sincere. Come, my brother. Gentleman, can you come? If this gentleman, we all know him, by next week, let this our brother come with a jeep and park outside. I mean a real jeep, not stolen. Say amen.
Amen.
Are we together now? And parks that jeep outside. And just says, you would think you yourself, as spiritual as you are, you have to say, no, I reject this. I reject this kind of thought. Don't feel embarrassed. I'm not embarrassing your spiritual life. It's the truth. Something in you will react and say, this boy has insulted me. How old am I? How old is he? You see. Are we together? If we do not understand this part of our humanity, we will destroy ourselves. There's nothing embarrassing about the intimidation that it brings. The only thing is that your yieldedness to the Holy Spirit kicks in. And you know that you have the spirit of love. Remember when the disciples were walking with Jesus Christ? They started gaining ground. And one time they said, some people are outshining us. He said, should we command fire? And Jesus turned and said, don't you know what spirit you are of? Hallelujah. All of a sudden, this jacket this guy is wearing now, all of a sudden becomes too rumpled. This is what he has been wearing every day. But because he bought a car, the jacket is rumpled. All of a sudden, he will say, Sanua, you say, Kungare Niba. That's what it was telling you every time. That's how he used to greet you. But it so happens that Sanu now came to meet a mind that was already bitter. See, most people interpret actions on the strength of the already formed image they have. And when that happens, there is nothing that will ever happen to justify what has been done. Bless you. Is God speaking to us? Yes. I used to have a friend years ago, very lovely friend of mine. When we began to walk in the anointing, that guy, among all my friends and contemporaries, as I began to teach them, they were walking in the anointing. But for him, for some reason, the thing was not just walking. He would pray for people, sick, not healed, baptism, nothing. You know, that kind of thing can be intimidating. And he started trivializing it and said, I beg, Jare, there's nothing with the anointing. And then I used to laugh at him. We have lovely friends today. And one day I said, I would do something. I wanted to minister the baptism to somebody. Then I called him. I said, come. I said, oh, yeah, you now, lay hands. Me, I wouldn't lay hands. And then he laid hands, and then I laid my hands on him. And then when he laid hands on her, she went under the anointing. I saw the glow on his face. Do you think he will ever accuse me again? So the real issue was the frustration he was feeling. God brought us tonight to bless us. This happens all around. To a point where a father can fight his son. A mother can fight her daughter. Believers can fight themselves. Are we together now? Simply because we judge actions above intentions. If someone insults you and says you are stupid, don't just say, no. What would have necessitated that? Especially when it is not in the character of that person to respond that way. There must be a reason. That's the spirit of love. It takes deep spiritual maturity. We think the matured ones are just the ones who fast and pray. The ability to compose yourself under pressure is tremendous spiritual maturity. Is God speaking to us? Let me talk to many of us young people. The more I grow, the more I respect my father. Now, my father is a very interesting person. Retired now, but that guy used to shout. My goodness. He can shout and yell and tear the house down. Of course, I don't plan to do that for my children, but trust me. If you go through what he went through with the level of knowledge he had, you must shout. I found out that men are not bad. Something makes them like that. Believe me. I'm not old, but at least I'm not a child. I'm not a baby. Believe me, I know what I'm saying. Report card, nothing happy. They've added the school fees. You will shout, Abba. You will shout. Out of 50 people, 37 position, all those, nothing is working. You are not a prefect. You are not spiritual. You are not born again. You are not doing anything. They are increasing your school fees. They've asked me to come for your PTA. I need to travel. Why won't you shout? So you must have the discernment. And I'm saying this to every young person. Because somehow there is this campaign among young people that their parents are out to destroy their destiny. Let me say it's a lie. The Bible says, can a mother forget her suckling child? The approach may be wrong, but the intention is correct. Hallelujah. Is that true? If you believe that, you will learn to overlook the flaws of people and see the intention. One child, he went to America, privileged parents, very wealthy people. They took him to America. He came back and they live in Abuja. One time I went to visit them and the boy came and the mother spoke to him and the boy just shouted, "Mom, I'm 18. Hi." I said, "If you tell my mother, my own mother, that kind of I'm 18, she will beat your mouth until you know what 18 years means." Ah, no, no matter what happens, you don't go that far. You know where the line crosses. 18 is still a far journey from... See, but based on the society, you understand what I'm trying to communicate. And the mother was angry. And I said, no. Judge the boy's intention. What he's trying to tell you is, "Abba, I'm not old, but I'm not a baby." Try to understand. Change your leadership approach because I'm growing. That's what that boy is saying. He's communicating it wrongly. Are we together now? Or a lady of, say, 16, 17 years, you see her and slap her before other men. It's true, she's not looking for boyfriend and girlfriend, but she's a lady. And your approach must be able, you don't hurt the feelings of people. And that's some of the mistakes that parents make. I always give, my father is my very good friend. My father had one suit, his size. Pastor, you can imagine my father with his size. I was 13 or 14. He would carry one suit and give me and say, "I should wear it." I said, "For where? Abba, what sort of, why should I wear that kind of suit?" And he said, "Either wear it or go and return it." "I'll go and return it." "Ah, you gave me a gift and you say I should, are you say I should wear it because of your ego, or I should wear it? I know this suit is not what it's supposed to be. Bigger than me, hanging around me, you gave me a tie that even you will not use." I'm sure when my father listens to my messages today, he just laughs and says, "Nothing, boy, you are lucky you are grown." Do you judge intentions? CGC, enter into this dimension of wisdom. God is speaking to us, parents to children, children to parents. Wife, have you paid attention to look at the intentions of your husband? Not just to say, "This man is changing." He's not changing. It may be that pressure is coming. That's what Jesus did. When he was on the cross and he saw all the people, you know, from Pontius Pilate, "Crucify him!" He was judging their intentions more than their actions. What they were saying is, "We do not understand what you represent for now. And so allow us to be human." And he said, "Father, forgive them." That's love. Father. You think I would have said, "Father, forgive them"? No. "Father, as I'm dying, you strike them. Let's all die and meet in hell and they will know who I truly am." That's what I would have said. But Jesus, the Bible says we should look up to him. Is that true? He says, "Father, forgive them." Hear what he said. "For they know not what." That means there are people who do and say things and they know not what they do. They may not understand the significance of insulting the pastor in the secret place. They don't know that it can carry a curse. But rather than looking and say, "Lord, enforce it," you say, "No, Lord, for they know not what they do." They are sincere people. They have just allowed their humanity to find expression. They brought a case to me. One guy got a lady pregnant. The mother dragged him. The other family dragged him. They didn't plan to meet. They came for counseling and the two families just jammed there. Two of them came to report the issue and they met there. So I knew it was going to be a very serious issue. And they were from polar regions. You know what I mean? One north and then another boundary in Nigeria. You know, and so on and so forth. And then when they came in, I knew that I was ready to go on my knees and lie down because it was for more than 2 hours we were handling that case. And I looked at the boy and the mother insulted him and said everything. And I looked at him and I discerned that this boy is not a bad boy. He just did not have wisdom and peer pressure pushed him. I knew that this is not his normal course of action. But how will you explain now when the lady is really pregnant? And I looked at him. I said, "Do you love Jesus?" And he started crying. And I knew that this boy fears God. Now, it's difficult to say somebody fears God under that kind of thing. I know what we humans to say. "God forbid this and that," until the day it now backfires on us. Then we look for ways of explaining. Be cheerful when you talk about people. Because everyone is living by the grace of God. Hallelujah. And when I looked at that gentleman sincerely before God, I put myself in his shoes. God forbid, it will never happen. If you hear it, know you are dreaming. But imagine that a lady just gets pregnant. Hi! Who would look at that intention? I almost want to kill myself, and maybe I'll just kill myself and die. Can you look at people and judge intentions? And I said, Mommy, these people, these ladies, if she was a bad lady, she would have terminated this pregnancy. You will not know. Her ability to come to you, rebels don't run away from God. Rebels run away from God. No matter how bad a sinner is, if he comes to God, it's a sign that he's not a rebel. Are we together? Judge intentions above actions. A woman used to give you money and help you, and you now come and say, Mommy, my school fees again. And she said, Kai, please get out of here. And he said, wicked woman. No. Could it be that she's reacting to a pressure? Maybe no salary. Things have gone bad. I pray that the Lord will give us an anointing in this season to stop judging people just based on actions. This alone will keep you healthy, because you will find out that high blood pressure, stroke, stress, alone without prayer will live your life. I live a very happy life. You cannot imagine. Because I do not believe that any true Christian by default will get up to destroy me. So I give excuses and I love people. I love all kinds of people. I've gone to minister everywhere. I look at people's excesses and I give room for it. Because I know that everybody is functioning at their level of knowledge. Until you know better, you cannot do better. So when people are talking, find out the person who is talking, what is his spiritual level? What is his level of orientation? Both intellectually and sociologically. If a child is walking naked now, if one of our little ones just comes and is running naked, nobody will just carry cane and flog him, because they look at the orientation level of that child. But if you see an adult walking naked, we're going to pray right away. We're going to know that something is going on. Can you give excuses for people? And you will see the power of God in your life. They were stoning Stephen. Stoning Stephen. And yet he looked. He received the pain. But he knew that these people were blessed. I pray that God will bring us to a point where you finish hearing that somebody spoke against your family. And you enter your secret place and say, Lord, bless him. I know he loves you. I know that these people are sincere people. At that point, Satan will never. Do you know what it means? Love never fails. We try a lot of things and they fail because there is no love. Believe me when I tell you, there is no accusation against love. Love never fails. Our time is gone. Number two. The second sign to show whether or not the love of God is established in your heart and to demonstrate the same. These were words that came from God to me. The Lord told me, he said, do not hate and fight people for sustaining a perspective that is different from yours. Do not hate and fight people for sustaining a perspective that is different from yours. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ needs this message. That's why we don't see the power of God. It's a major mistake with the body of Christ. Once somebody does not hold your kind of orientation, you are inclined to resent the person and hate the person. This happens in business. This happens spiritually. How many people step into a place, the moment they see a Muslim, they hate the person. Just like that. You are the ones destroying our world. I hate you. No. You would think that if Jesus Christ walks upon the earth, let me tell you what will happen right now. In 7 days, we'll send him out of most of the churches in Nigeria. We won't believe this is the guy we have been serving. Because the love of Jesus will cancel our ideology of love again and again. You'll be surprised to find. You don't have to, listen, you do not have to receive people's principles to relate with them. Are we together? I was invited to minister in Cherubim and Seraphim. And when I was going to minister there, I loved the people. They loved me back. And while they got there, I was going to pull off my shoes. And I said, no, enter with your shoes. I said, am I crazy? Why? Because I'm Joshua Selman. For whatever reason, you have a principle that you remove your shoes, you take off your shoes, and I must take off my shoes. I took off my shoes. I ministered there. I ministered under the power of the Holy Spirit. They were so blessed. The next branch heard about it. They invited me with all love. Let me tell you that you relate with people giving room for their excesses or imperfections does not mean that you can be compromised by it. We must learn this. This is why God can never trust us with certain people. Do you have enough love? You see, when you study global leadership, I've shared this. When you study global leadership, part of the key to be able to influence people of different cultures and places, especially around the world, is to be able to find the common ground without compromising your convictions. Take note, when you find common grounds to the extent that you compromise your convictions, you are in error. Your convictions should be so solid. That's why Jesus could eat with sinners. He knew that he would not be defiled by it. However, he knew that it was a system to reach out to them. Is God speaking to us? If the love of God is at work in you, especially for families where you have a mixture of Christians and Muslims, you find out that people group themselves. Group A are those who go to church and love God. Group B are those who are not of God. And they create a deliberate system to frustrate one another. That's not the spirit of the Christ. Most times I come out after our meetings and I look at the people that transport people in the bus. I greet them and they are very happy. Oh, guy, I greet them and I tell the protocol people that they should buy them minerals, so, and they are happy. I don't subscribe to their convictions, but I love them in spite of their convictions. If you love men simply because of consistency in convictions, you are not a true Christian. CGC, is God talking to us tonight? How many of us have neighbors we never talk to because they are of a different spiritual orientation than us? Abba. I love people with all my heart and I pray for them with all my heart. I will never resent any man born of God on grounds of anything, social status, whatever orientation. One guy came from US, I think they came, I think the parents may be in Zaria here, and then he came for counseling. And the guy just looked at me and said, I'm gay. I've not had a Nigerian say that. I know Americans say all of that, but I mean, I just looked and I wanted to say, what? Are you okay? What entered your head? If you want to marry, won't you tell your parents? What is the meaning of all this nonsense? And the moment I wanted to do that, the Spirit of God constrained me. And I listened to him. I never spoke to him about homosexualism. It was just one deliverance. And the person changed completely. Completely. We do not know that in resentment we build a wall that authorizes darkness into our lives. There are people today who will never listen to W.F. Kumuyi because he sustains a spiritual orientation that may not be the same with them. See that? There are people today who will never listen to Bishop Oyedepo. There are people who will never listen to maybe Apostle Johnson Suleiman or Dr. Paul Enenche or something. Listen. The world cannot look like you alone. That's the truth about it. God's idea is not to make the world koinonia. God's idea is not to make the world CGC. God's idea is not to make the world living faith. God's idea is to make the world respond to his presence. And in doing that, there will be diversities of all sorts. From cultural diversities, etc., etc. Are you able to embrace people without being compromised? Is God speaking to us tonight? What I'm sharing with you is very deep. In your office, people expect you to hate them for what they do. but when you are able to embrace them. Now, embracing them does not mean embracing their convictions. There is a difference between a man and an ideology. This is what God told me. And he said, son, if you want to see greater levels of my power, beyond fasting and prayer, hallelujah. There are people who come for counseling. There are ladies who come for counseling. Some of them, the way they dress, you will be surprised. I mean, all of that. I won't dress like that. I won't raise my children to dress like that. But at the same time, I will not refuse to counsel them just because they are like that. If I have a serious problem, we have lady protocols that will be around me. Is God speaking to us? Very important. Some of us have a default bitterness. You just see, some of us hate people who look poor. You just see somebody and his dress is torn and bad. Maybe he had no father or mother and you hate him just at once, just for that appearance. Not everybody has had the privilege we have had. Is God speaking to us? I'm somebody who is very sensitive to good music. I'm very sensitive to worship. I've gone to churches to minister where the people get up to minister and they are even off key. The person singing doesn't even know she's off key. She's just jumping and rejoicing. I jump with them. Believe me, that thing is killing me. But then I just have to go along with it. Is that what I'm going to teach our worship team? No. But I'll have to respond. I've gone to people's houses where I'm very particular about food. I don't eat much, but I try to eat very well because I plan to live long. Praise the Lord. And the Bible says, he who does not walk should not eat. I think I'm walking, so at least I should eat well. Praise the Lord. But I can go to a house where they can serve. I don't eat goat meat. I don't like things that draw. You see why I told you my eating life is very funny. You see that? But then I can go to a house, they pile goat meat in okra. What do you think I'll do? Painstakingly receive grace from God to finish that meal, because I'm to them, and you see the way they go around trying to make it happen. They are happy. Apostle came to our house. Will I throw away that honor? People I know on a very good day will not do that just because I think I'm a great man. We have destroyed destiny helpers in our lives because many of our helpers will not sustain our paradigm. And we will reject them. Hallelujah. I met a lady one time. The moment I saw that lady, I knew she was under the influence of spirits. Immediately that she was under the influence of spirits and that this lady needed to be delivered. But she came from a church setting where you would never ever believe, although it is obvious, I mean it's written, you can almost sense it. That lady would never believe that something is wrong. And I looked at her. I share these testimonies to encourage us. We are going to pray. A pastor came in from Kaduna. Nothing had been working in his life. And as soon as he entered my room, I saw a spirit enter with him. And I kept quiet. I said, man of God, I need to pray for you. No. You know, he just created this defense. There's nothing wrong with me. I reject that confession. I said, no. It's not about negative confession. I speak positively. I'm telling you that I'm seeing a spirit. The guy refused. I said, okay, can I pray for you? Now when I began to pray, he was manifesting this. And when everything was done, he got up so embarrassed. For more than 3 days, he kept sending me texts. He said, so what have I believed all my life? It's like his whole life sank. His ministry just exploded in a dimension. That one spirit had been tying him. But his destiny helper was closer to him, but simply because he did not sustain an orientation similar to him. How many people have died of sickness today? You know, sometimes I say it very closely. A woman came to me to pray for her. When she said she lives not too far from here. And I said, Mama, you live close here. How many miracle services have happened here? You would have just come, receive your miracle and go back. Why die for nothing? Most times, we trivialize the things that are closest to us and do not see the grace and the anointing within them and the ability to change our lives. Let me tell you, every man's miracle is not far from him. The prophet told the woman, what do you have in your house? She was there looking around and he said, no, it's closer to you. But do you have the discernment? I have learned from babies. God has taught me priceless lessons from little children that even pastors' conferences have not taught me. I sit down and I watch them and I see faith. I sit down and I watch them and I see conviction. Mommy told me this and they never doubt. And the Holy Spirit says, this is what I want you to look like. Are you that malleable to love people? Somebody can step into an environment where you are who does not love God, he does not fear God. And you hear the person speaking all kinds of vulgar things. You know what I mean? Just say all kinds of things. Expressions that are not consistent with the word of God. You step into your house or your office and you see somebody doing a thing. Maybe somebody who is your table mate. You know that this guy is cheating on his wife in your presence. He's calling another woman, whereas his wife is there praying for him. And sometimes I know that resentment can rise, that holy anger. But if you are not careful, you can look at him and say, I wish this guy would just die. Be careful. Love. Love, the Bible says, suffers long, is patient. We must re-examine our concept of hatred and bitterness. You know what hatred is? A bitter dislike. It must never be found in you that you hate a man. It's demonic. I'm telling you, if nobody has told you, every form of hatred, I don't care what is the justification, is demonic. Hatred is like a door in the spirit. It authorizes demons to enter your life. Jesus said this. He said, Satan cometh to me and does not find anything of himself. Meaning, the instrument of Satan's entrance into a man's life is when he finds something in your life that looks like him. It means he's authorized to enter your life. Your love is perfected when hate is gone. I hate no man. God is my witness. I cannot hate a man. No. The love of God has been shed abroad in my heart. It doesn't mean that people will do things and you just smile. Hatred is a choice. Is God helping us? This thing looks very simple, but walk in that truth and see how it will change your life. All of a sudden, you will see doors open without you even saying any prayer. When I stand to preach the word of God, sincerely speaking, I not only love God, I love the people I'm preaching to. Even when I'm rebuking them, sometimes the rebuke can be so hard, but they know I love them. They know it is from the depth of my heart that I love them. I can hate no man, not in my lifetime. And believe you me, people have done things that in the flesh you will not imagine. But if Jesus did it, the Bible says that we should follow in his steps. A Christian is not one who has adopted a religion where Jesus is Lord. A Christian is one who has submitted to the word of God as final authority over his life. Regardless of what you feel, the word of God gains preeminence. Unarguable preeminence. That's greater than your preaching. Hallelujah. Tonight, God is speaking to us. Until the love of God is rooted in us, it doesn't matter what else we do. We will find out that we will keep praying, we will keep fasting, but we may not get so much results. We will find out that the anointing will not freely be able to flow through our lives because all these encumbrances of the flesh destroy us. Let's round up. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Media, if you can help us, and then we'll pray. Hebrews chapter 1, chapter 12, verse 1. Verse 1. Can we read it together? It's projected. 1, 2, read. Wherefore, seeing we also are encompassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. What's the admonition? Let us lay aside every stop. You notice that the Bible calls weight and calls sin. That means weights are not necessarily sin, but it's anything that sustains the capacity to impede your speed. There are many unnecessary spiritual luggages a man can carry. And then the Bible says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth easily beset us. And then he says, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Hallelujah. You have to make up your mind that in 2016, the love of God will be rich in you. You have to make up your mind that in 2016, you are not ready to give room to the flesh. You are going to make up your mind that in 2016, your atmosphere will be toxic to anything that is not of God. From gossip to envy and everything that can sustain you. That your atmosphere will only be that which is to the edification of men. That nobody can come and talk about your pastor in your place and you concur. Right there and then you will tell them, no. I don't want to know what is there. This is a man of God. I respect him and I honor him. He's my pastor. He speaks over my life and I honor him to death. There is a spirit and a culture that makes men great. I'll be sharing another dimension of this mystery tomorrow. Love. Hallelujah. That God will search our hearts. That God will search our motives. That He will try our thoughts. And make sure that our motives are genuine. Genuine. That everybody that stands upon this pulpit and holds the mic. That everybody that conducts any program. Somebody met me and said, Kai, it looks like every ministry is giving welfare to the poor. They don't have money. What do we do? I said, don't do nothing. Pray for them. He said, but everybody is doing it. I said, Mr. Man, please, don't disturb me. I've told you what to do. You don't have the money to do it. Intercede for them. Because you want to do it now, your motive is wrong. Whether you give Gary or you give anything, your motive is already corrupted because you are trying. Remember what Nimrod said. Let us build a city so that we will make a name for ourselves. Hallelujah. We are going to pray. The Lord spoke something to me. Let me just say it. I think it's a message particularly to the church. And the Lord said, I should talk to CGC. This is what I got in a place of prayer. About anger. Anger. This is what the Lord said. I hope this does not embarrass you. Anger. You know what we call rage. That you can be angry and carry a bottle of minerals and smash it on somebody's head and be boiling. No. Anger. There are some of us young people, our parents cannot talk to us. We will boil out and even think we will beat them. Let me tell you something. When a father fights his son, he loses his honor. But when a son fights his father, he loses his life. The Bible says, he that despises his father, he said his candle will be taken away from him and he will be in obscure darkness. Hallelujah. Anger. I hate anger. It's a terrible thing. I suffered it in my life and it's trauma. Till today, I have a psychology. I hate people shouting at me. I'm very submissive enough to understand anything anybody wants to say. You don't have to shout for me to get the message. See? Anger. Do you know what anger does to people? It builds a psychology in people that kills away their joy, kills away their passion. Anger is something to work on. Please, let me say this. If there is anybody here, young or old, who is having anger issues, anger issue is a deliverance case. I'm telling you now, it's not an issue of withdrawal symptoms. There's no such thing as that. You need a head-on collision. A first sign that a man is under the influence of spirit is uncontrolled anger. The Bible says, in your anger, do not sin. He said, do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. Many of us have let many years pass while we are still angry. It's a sign that you need help. My mother treated me bad. I will never forgive her till I die. That's terrible. That's terrible. I hate my father. I hate my pastor. He rebuked me. He said something about me that was not true. It doesn't matter. Tonight, in the midst of our prayer, there are many things we must let go. I will lay down my idols and thrones I have made, and all that has taken my heart. Sing, Lord, I will bow, Lord, I will bow to you, to no other God but you, Lord. Lord, I will worship you. Nothing hands have made but you, Lord. We have a lot of repentance to do tonight in the presence of God. And when that time comes, CGC, I want us to cry before the Almighty God. Everyone, including myself. The Bible says, if my people who are called, although they are my people, it does not guarantee that their land will be healed and things will be good for them. He said, if my people who are called by my name, the first thing is that they shall humble themselves. He says, and pray and seek my face. Then repent. Turn from their wicked ways. He says, then will I hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and I will heal their land. Enough of bitterness. Enough of backbiting. Enough of anything that is able to steal him from you. We are going to pray. There are just three quick prayer sessions we are going to have. The first prayer session is a time of extreme repentance. I don't know how you are going to do it, but please, I want us, don't play games with God. Let's not just make it look like we are acting this thing. You know, there are traces of darkness resident within our hearts. The hatred we've had for people, whether in the body of Christ or outside of the body of Christ, is not spirituality. You look at a particular woman, and just because her orientation is not similar to yours, it's terrible. We are going to pray. Hallelujah. We are going to pray. And you are going to ask the Lord. The Bible says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. He said, but if we confess our sins, he said, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. I don't know about you, but I have a lot of repentance to do. There is a lot of opening before God to say, Lord, search my heart. I love David. David said, search my heart. Try my thoughts. Oh God, I don't want to give any excuses. We are going to pray. I'm going to lead us shortly to pray. Every one of us. Everything I've mentioned here, there must be at least one area that applies to your life. Some of us, like me, all self. All can apply. From motive to a wrong, having a wrong paradigm about people. You just hate people for not sustaining similar things. You judge intentions above action. How many people have you misjudged from morning till this time, who what you are saying about them may truly not be the truth? When they saw Jesus Christ, they had an orientation about him, but he loved them.
Oh, oh God. Oh God. Oh God. As we pray, oh, hear the cry of your people. As we call on your name, oh, oh, oh God. pour out your mercy as we pray.
Sing it to the Lord. Song of repentance.
Oh God. Oh God. As we pray. As we pray.
Please, I want us to take 5 minutes and cry before God. Find a position. You want to lie down, whatever it is, cry and say, Lord, search my heart. I'm not going to pretend it before you. I come before the God of all flesh. I open my heart. Men call me man of God. Men call me woman of God. Men call me mother, father. You know the intent and the motive of my heart. Lord, search our hearts, purge our hearts, O God. Pray.
My heart, my mind, my soul belongs to you. My love, my life, it all belongs to you. Hey, belongs to you. Yeah, belongs to you.
Shake the barakata prandes kalabaria tabarada. Pray from your heart. Lord, touch my motives.
This song that we sing, they all belong to you. Lord, even the air that we breathe, they all belong to you. Belong to you.
Shema na 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 mo so na 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 na. It belongs to you.
Belongs to you.
Pray. Lord, judge my motives. Judge my motives. Judge my motives. Lord, I love you. But the truth is, there has been this desperation in my heart to outshine people. There has been this desperation in my heart. I pray for your mercy. There are many things I want from you, but my motive for the anointing, my motive for fame, my motive needs a lot of correction.
You provide the fire
I'll provide a sacrifice. You provide the Spirit, and I will open up inside. Fill me up, God. Fill me up. 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 You provide the fire, and I'll provide the sacrifice. You provide the Spirit. Don't stop praying, and I will open up inside. Fill me up, God. Fill me up. Fill me up, God. Fill me up. Fill me up till I overflow. I wanna run over. I want to run over. Fill me up till I overflow. I want to run over. I want to run over. Fill me up till I overflow. I want to run over. I want to run over. Fill me up till I overflow. I want to run over. When you remember the love of Jesus and how he forgave you, when you remember how he forbears your wrongs and your imperfections, you will never find yourself talking against people. I tell you, I sense a thorough work of purging of the Holy Spirit in this place. A thorough purging by the Spirit.
Kaunang Allah Shine Abani Saborai Shine Abani Salama Shine awan kesu chata.
Lord, show me mercy. I'm tired of pretense. I'm fighting the things that are stopping my breakthrough. I'm fighting the things that are stopping my destiny. I'm crying unto you. Please don't pray if you don't mean the truth in this prayer. Don't just do it because others are doing it. Lord, I repent tonight. I repent in spirit. And in truth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Galatians chapter 5 from verse 16. You don't have to turn there. I'm just establishing the second prayer point. Galatians chapter 5 from verse 16 says, "This I say then." Paul was speaking to the Galatian church. He was admonishing them on how to win the war over the flesh and the things that it can bring. Because all these things we have discussed that rob us from manifesting the love of God are attributes of the flesh. And Paul says, "This I say then." He says, "Walk ye in the Spirit, and ye shall not gratify the desires of the flesh." He tells us that the flesh is lusting after the Spirit, and the Spirit after the flesh. You may be a prayer warrior, but when the love of God is not in you, and you hold such resentment against people, you will never see the power of God. You can fast all you can.
You can pray all you can. God will scan the love of God in your heart before you ever receive anything. I like us to pray and say, Lord, I don't know how you would do it, but let a baptism of love, first for God and for every member of CGC, rest upon me. Please lift your voice and pray. Lord, do a work in my heart that there will be such love for every member of this church. No seditions, no party spirit. Be it rich or poor, intellectually oriented or not, socially oriented or not, that we must have genuine love, the same love in the secret place and the same love in the fellowship. Pray for every department in this ministry, the pastoral team, the eldership, the workforce, the youth, the choir, the mid-sisters fellowship. I'd like you to pray and say, Lord, there's no pretense again. There's no pretense again. We mean business with you. That's the true spirit of revival.
Fill me up till I overflow. I wanna run over. I wanna run over.
That which is consistent with the glory of God, that your heart will be right, the way you love Pastor Abubakar in the open, that you genuinely love him like that in the secret, that the same way you love Pastor Tula, there's no point claiming you love him in the open and then wishing him bad in the secret. No, that's not the spirit of revival. That the same way you love the elders, that's the same way you love them in the secret. You can't answer yes sir and say God bless you and hold on to resentment. It's an authorization for darkness. Going to pray. Listen, many of us may not know the spiritual walls we have built over our lives, the limiting things we have built as a result of resentment and hatred and lack of love. We are going to pray, and by the ministry of the blood of Jesus, we are going to tear down every wall that has held our destinies and stopped us from moving forward because of people we have kept in our hearts because of lack of the manifestation of the love of Christ. Don't you pretend that there is no wall built. Anger, resentment, these things are spiritual instruments. They are living things in the spirit, and they can have their authorization to destroy a man. Jesus said, Satan cometh to me and finds nothing of himself. Lift your voice in 1 minute and pray and say, Satan, it's time to let me go. It's time to let me go. I no longer will be a slave to your suggestions. I love the body of Christ. I love CGC. This is a winning church. This is a growing church. This is an apostolic and a prophetic center where the counsel of the Lord will stand.
reject any negative suggestion from darkness. Declare, I love my church. I'm loyal to my church. I love my pastor. I believe in the anointing upon his life. He is a man of God. My pastors are men of God. They share God. I believe in the word of the Lord upon their mouth. No one will preach me into disbelieving them. I believe their ministry. I love them. Hallelujah. Please listen to me. We are going to pray just one last prayer, and this is a very serious prayer point. There are two laws that have changed my life, two spiritual laws. Please, I want us to listen. The first law that has changed my life, I call it the law of encounter. The revelation of the fact that there is a protocol to the presence of God. You don't find God just because you are looking for him. The Bible says in Jeremiah chapter 29 verse 13, it says, then ye shall seek me and find me if ye seek me with all your heart. That means if you never find God, you didn't seek him with all your heart. I learned that. It's called the law of encounter. But the second law, spiritual law, that has changed my life, it has brought a dimension of effortless breakthrough in my life. It's called the law of honor. Please, CGC, listen. The Bible says a prophet has no honor in his hometown and among his people. I'm not talking about myself. There is a trend of dishonor that flows in churches. And the reason is because of familiarity with their men of God. I have seen pastors of churches go for other meetings and the Lord use them mightily. But whenever they come to their own habitat, dishonor kills their grace from flowing. And it looks like they are not anointed. But the vessels, there are no recipients. I learned something very early in my life. Please listen, we are rounding up. You never receive prophetic intervention from a colleague. You never receive a prophetic intervention from a friend. The moment you are in trouble, the Bible says, he that receives a prophet in the name of a prophet, it is important how you receive him. Now, I don't teach human worship, and I know that it is a wrong thing for people to worship men. But please hear me. This little secret is why many members don't grow in the church. They go to another church and meet a man of God who they honor. And one prayer for him opens their heart. You see that? Just like their own pastor too goes to a church where he's a visitor. And they are more than grateful to have his grace. And even him, he's surprised to see that the teaching anointing flowed through him in an unusual way. He was prophesying to people, but he comes back home and we look and say, it's Pastor Abubakar. We look and say, this is Professor Marison. We look and say, this is Pastor Tula. This is our mommy here. Let me tell us something. Honor is not human worship. Your prosperity and your well-being in the kingdom follows a chain of spiritual authority. It will never be any way outside it. He says, behold, Psalm 133, how good and pleasant it is when brethren dwell together in unity. He begins to use a priestly figure to compare how the blessing comes. He said, it starts first from the head, Aaron, right? It comes down to his beard and then to his skirt. He said, dear God has commanded the blessing. The reason why many of us have prayed and fasted but may not enter into certain levels of breakthrough is because there is a system. It was designed by culture. it was designed by our level of orientation. And generally, we here in the north, we have an attitude of dishonor. We are so age conscious, we lose out on the anointing. A man can be 60 years and you are 60 years, 5 months, and still call that person a child. We have that attitude. And it must change. Every pastor that God puts, there is something God has put in his mouth. But that which God has put upon your pastor will only flow to your life. It's a painful thing when members have certain challenges and you see them running around, moving around, and their pastors are not even aware to agree with them, even when the pastors are praying with them. Honor. Honor. He that receives a prophet in the name of a prophet. Young ladies in this church, how many of you have come to meet our mother here? You see that? And say, this is my pastor's wife. There is an anointing upon her. Mommy, I want you to lay hands on me. I'm trusting you for marital breakthrough this year. But we can look at her and she can greet us. You can look at pastor. You see, please, let me say this thing to us. Spiritual things are not worked intellectually. If you do it, you will fail and get punished again and again. This is a painful truth, but I must share. This is not just about CGC. It is about us, Muyang Arewa. That's the reason why we don't move forward. We are easily caught up in the sin of familiarity. When the wise men came to Jesus, they saw a baby, but they worshipped. They were not worshipping a baby. They knew what they saw. They discerned that although this was a baby, they didn't wait till he became an adult. As a baby, they knew this was a king. They never said, we are going to go and look for Jesus. They said, a king has been born. Your pastors carry grace that can give men business breakthroughs. Your pastors carry grace. I submit to you. I know the anointings as a person that I've received from this man of God. My life is a product of prophecy. Jesus went to his own city and would not be received. Many of us start businesses. We cannot come to our pastors and say, Pastor, I'm starting a business and I believe with all my heart. You just say, Pastor, pray for me. You will never get anything. Because what you are saying is, this man who has a responsibility to run my church, pray for me. You don't get it that way. That's not honor. Let me tell you 3 ways to know you honor a man. Number one, you must esteem the person and the office of that man from the depth of your heart. Honor is not just about money. You must esteem the person in the secret and in the open. There are men I will never talk against. Even if they kill a human being, I will leave it for God to judge. But my mouth, I honor them in life and in death. Is God helping us? I really want us to get results this year. God is not a magician. There are principles. Honor. Has nothing to do with age. Has nothing to do with gender. Has nothing to do with financial orientation or whatever it is. The second way you honor your man of God genuinely is by praying for him and supporting his interest. Now, the meaning of that is you believe that what God is doing through your man of God is of God. It doesn't mean the man is perfect, but that you align yourself in total dedication and make up your mind that rebellion will not be found from me. Remember Lucifer. That was the sin of rebellion and treason that was found in him. Moses began to talk. Aaron and Miriam began to talk about Moses. Is it only Moses God will speak for? And God judged them. I'm not scaring you, but it's the truth. You support their interest. You talk to them, not about them. The third way you honor your man of God is honoring him with your substance and the blessing of God upon your life. I've not even discussed with pastors. They are not even aware of this thing that I'm saying. CGC, you are my parents, you are my brothers, you are my sisters. If I lie to any other person, it's not you I will lie to. I have seen this law change my life. I challenge the young people in this ministry. If you are tired of poverty and suffering and joblessness and whatever, create a system within you that one day the youth in this church will come together, put money together and buy one bag of rice, come and present it to the Mixed Sisters Fellowship as the youth and say, we are presenting this to our mothers or to the pastors and say, this is a bag of rice for the men of God. No true prophet lives off the blessing of his members. Anybody that does that is fake and stupid. No true man of God depends on his members for tea and bread. Every man lives off his obedience of the truth of the word. When Elijah wanted to change the story of that woman, he said, bring me water. She ran to bring water and said, a morsel of bread. And she said, this is everything is spent. And he said, surely, if you do this. This is not some Pentecostal, charismatic, American doctrine. This is the truth that those who know how to apply have effortlessly risen. Because Hebrews 7 verse 7 says, and without contradiction, brothers and sisters, the lesser, no man can bless himself. Even God, when he wanted to speak about the authenticity of his covenant, the Bible says he searched to find who was greater than him. The men of God, the men and women in this church deserve your honor. I say it without any sense of apology. Your financial honor, your material honor. I will never see a man I honor at the filling station trying to buy fuel, and I just say, pastor, no, over my dead body. I will run, put my hand in my pocket, even if it is 1,000. I will say, man of God, please add this. Brothers and sisters, I taught this to our people. It's part of the principles I have taught them. And some of them are yet students, but the amazing testimonies of the things God is doing, because it is not gender sensitive. It has nothing to do with gender. Do you believe what I've just shared? Because I'm about to pray with us. That God will give us a fresh dimension of honor. That we will be able to look beyond the physical bodies of people and see what they carry in the spirit. That way, Elijah told Elisha, if you can see me, was he not looking at him? He was more than just looking. If you can discern what I represent. As I am today, I will not see any of my mothers that I know and I respect holding something, right? And then I'll just pass and leave her. Believe me, even if I'm on my way for a ministration, except if it is so necessary, I will stop and help to carry that thing. That I see one of my mothers here carrying something on her head, and I say, I'm apostle. Apostle what? Very quickly, I will carry it. It's called honor. It's not stupidity. It's honor. When you do that, honor is the key to access. The anointing of that person is open for you, even without him praying for you. This is the true spirit of impartation. If the youth fight the elders and the members in the church, no matter what the issue is, and they don't create a system of understanding, they dishonor themselves. You will find out that the God you are trying to serve, you look like he's running away from you. See that? Young people, at no point should anybody dishonor father and mother. I'm telling you here, if you are a young man and you are shouting at your father or mother, if nobody has told you, you will never be able to get a successful life that way. Because you are redesigning a future you don't like. It must replace itself in your life. Because God cannot be mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he reap. I don't want to reap nonsense. And so I take out my time to invest into my future the things that are necessary. We are going to pray this last prayer point and I speak into our lives. You are going to say, Lord, in this season, this cultural paradigm I have received that makes me dishonor everyone other than myself, or only honor people who are intellectually my class or spiritually my class, destroy it right now. Give me grace to honor all men, to discern what they carry, especially my leaders in this church. Please lift your voice and pray. Shikata barato kabariataba. Mondo brindes kalapradash karapatu sepriada. Scriptures cannot be broken. Scriptures cannot be broken. He that receives a prophet in the name of a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. He that receives a prophet, he that receives a pastor, he that receives the pastors of CGC as touching the grace they carry will receive their reward. Please pray. Lord, I receive a fresh baptism for honor. Grace to discern the careers of the anointing that can change my life. Grace to discern the careers of the anointing that can turn my life around. My destiny is just a genuine honor away. The new level of my life is just a genuine honor away. I challenge everyone here is a retreat. I want to tell us something to do. I challenge everyone under the sound of my voice, every young person here, if you can do what I'm asking you to do, you'll be surprised to see what will happen. I'm challenging you, every young person, compose a text of honor and send it to anybody, your biological father, and anybody that represents the spiritual authority in your life. Do it this night. Every member in this church, I know it looks like we're playing child's play, but you see, they say, nevertheless, at thy word. Sometimes instructions come that make us look like children, but in them are the keys that open us to the next level. There is something about doing the word. Many of us, the only text we send is complaining and say, Pastor, I'm disappointed in you. Or, Pastor, I need help. Many times we forget that these pastors are human beings. They have families, they have challenges, they have everything. I say this to you in the name of the Lord God Almighty. Except it is not the truth of God's word we are preaching. Do this and watch what happens in your life. That you make up your mind to at least, even if you cannot get a seed and sow into the life of the man of God, into the life of the woman of God, into the life of the pastor, and say, Pastor Tula, I honor the grace upon your life. Pastor Abubakar, thank you for this leadership. This is 10,000. This is 100,000. I do this not just because the man of God preached it. I truly honor you from my heart. Mommy, this is a wrapper. I bought it to you from the depth of my heart to appreciate what you represent in the spirit. And let me see the devil that will stop your door from opening up. Don't say, I am young and I cannot do it. This is how great men grow. My life is a dispensing of seeds. Hallelujah. It's not anything that happens when God moves me specially. It's my default way of operation. My father and my mother, my biological father and my mother, every month of my life, there are things I do to them. Every month. It cost me a lot, but I vowed that I would do it. And sometimes my mother would just call me and say, my son, in the name of Jesus, God will bless you. Sometimes I'm even traveling and she will know by the Spirit and send me a text. And then let me see the devil that comes to stop me on the road or who comes to bomb me. Oh no, there are mysteries that secure me. It's not just I shall not die. There are things you can do that even Satan does not have an authorization over your life. CGC, I show you a new and living way. A path of cheap growth. There is a job interview you are supposed to go to. It's an opportunity. Man of God, don't just say, Pastor, pray for me. Pastor, I believe in the word of the Lord upon your mouth, and I ask you to speak. You will be surprised. I round up with a story. I think I've shared it in our ministry. There was a pastor, true story. This pastor and his wife were great men and women of God, pastoring a congregation. But at that time, things were not moving well at all in their lives. Things were really very bad. We're rounding up. Financially, things were tight. There was no breakthrough. Things were really bad. Yet this man was hearing people come to testify before his altar. Daddy prayed for me. Pastor prayed for me. The woman was sad. One time they were in a meeting just like this. And the moment the pastor was ministering, the woman got up and went out of the church. You can imagine that kind of situation. People will now say, are they fighting? She left the church. She didn't attend the service that day. And even him, he was concerned. And when he went home, he found out that she was already at home. And he was like, honey, what is wrong? Why would you embarrass me like that? Come and sit down, let's talk. She didn't say a word. He just sat down at the table. He saw her come up with a special tray. And she dropped it in front of him. Usually she would just put food in a plate. She had a special plate, different varieties of foods, drinks. And when she dropped everything, he kept quiet. He knew he was shocked. When she brought that, this is a true story. She got down on her knees to her husband and said, servant of God, my family is in trouble. Did you get what I just said? In other words, she said, it's because I've been looking at this man as my husband. That's why his anointing is working for members and not working for our house. And if I'm a good woman, I must tap into that dimension of him. And she left the church and prepared a meal. Not for Oga, for the man of God. And the man said, an anointing rose upon him. And he laid hands on her and began to prophesy. I challenge every mother here, every wife, every husband. Between today and tomorrow, there must be something you must do. Children, parents, everybody is going to do it in the name of Jesus. Say amen.
Amen.
Don't be emotional hearing what I'm saying now and you go back. You go back and find something. Young people, you can afford 100 naira. Send a recharge card and say, Daddy, it may not be so much, but I'm just telling you, I honor you. Don't say, take, load. That's not honor. That's not honor. You are saying, load this. I do this in honor. I promise you, pastor, you will record the testimonies that will break out in this church and it will look like a charm because of honor. He that receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. It is difficult to talk against someone you honor. Mothers, our fathers, and our husbands carry more anointing than we have ever imagined. We are not running around to people who do not have the kind of graces they have. Fathers, some of our mothers and wives carry graces that can end the captivity in our life. We do not honor them, so they see dreams about our doom and keep quiet because we will not believe them if they tell us. Young people, many of our parents with the advantage of age have been able to foresee a lot of things and they can speak into our lives. And for many of us parents, we have despised our young ones because we think that spirituality, they may have excesses and exuberance here and there, but believe me, these young people carry fire and they have eyes that see and ears that hear. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus tonight over CGC. In this prayer retreat, you have challenged us. I pray for everyone in this place, beginning from myself. Correct our motives, O God. In the name of Jesus, the Son of the Living God, correct our motives. My God, I ask you in the name of Jesus that everywhere we have sponsored a motivation for anything in the kingdom, other than to see Christ lifted and exalted, correct it tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that the love of God will be planted and rooted in us in truth. In the name of Jesus Christ, we declare that you take hold of our lips and our conversations be ordered aright. In the name of Jesus, we mortify our bodies tonight and declare them instruments of righteousness. They will not be used for tearing down others. Our conversations will only minister life to the hearers, oh God, and not death. In the name of Jesus Christ. My God and my King, I pray that we will learn in the name of Jesus Christ to judge intentions above actions. In the name of Jesus, that we will give excuses for the limitations in people. In the name of Jesus. I pray, oh God, that the spirit of offense will leave this church. I pray that the spirit of hatred will leave this church. It will leave every family, every member, every person. In the name of Jesus Christ.
My God and my King, I pray that we'll be able to love people and accept them regardless of what they hold, different from that which we hold. In the name of Jesus. And finally, I pray, oh God, that you plant in everyone the true spirit of honor. Grace to look at our spiritual content, not just the body. In the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray for the membership of CGC. Such a blessed church. That in a new dimension, they begin to have such a profound honor over their men of God. In the name of Jesus. That they will hold them in high esteem and honor them as unto God. And I pray that the anointing and the grace from the men of God and the women of God in this assembly, it will flow freely to every member. In the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for grace. We pray that as we continue in this tomorrow, you will grant us great grace. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. God bless you.
Believe you have been blessed by this message. For additional information, you can visit us on Facebook on www.facebook.com/KoinoniaParenting Network International or follow us on Twitter www.twitter.com/KoinoniaAI. You can also download our messages on www.forshared.com. Parenting Network International, replicating the corners of God's life and life.